This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
This is the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, joined by John Morrison. John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. Every month, he joins me for the Culture Corner, connects the dots for us across different genres of music. But this month, he is here every week talking about dance music through the decades for Black History Month. Started in the 70s. Ended the 80s and the 90s. For this final week, we're going a little further than just one decade. We've made it to the 2000s, the new millennium.
I'm so cold, I'm so grown, I'm so real.
I'm excited. John, how's it going?
I'm good, Raina. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Okay, so what are some of the trends that have defined dance music in the 2000s?
You know, much like the 90s, post-millennial dance music has been all about subgenre and microgenre. You know, broken beat, dubstep, grime, Baltimore and Jersey Club are still going strong. It's just been waves and waves of these rapidly evolving styles and scenes. And really in the past few years, I've noticed kind of like a hyper fixation on remixing in particular amongst young people and young musicians.
Who got the room to take what I like? Who got the smoke I like to get by? I need enough to last the whole time, to last the whole night, to last my whole life. Who got the room to take what I like? Who got the smoke I like to get by? I need enough to last the whole time, to last
the
whole
night, to last my whole life. The way that the younger generation interacts with music is a lot different than generations have in the past, and we really live in a world of like the infinite remix, right? Where songs and genres themselves are constantly being flipped and like adapted and recontextualized pretty much in real time. And this is probably the most fluid and changeable that music has been in human history. And dance music is right in the center of all of that.
We'll get into some of the reasons it's so fluid, I think, later on in this conversation. But speaking of remixes, what can you tell us about King Britt, Silk 130, and their song Happiness?
Yeah, King Britt is a DJ and producer from my hometown in Philadelphia. He's also a professor. He runs a fantastic course with the University of California, San Diego, called Blacktronica, which is all about the history of Black folks' innovations in electronic music. Silk 130 is a musical project of his, and Happiness might be their finest moment. They got a wide catalog of music that King Britt has made with different collaborators under the Silk 130 banner. But the version of Happiness that we're gonna hear is the Soul Dama remix featuring Lady Alma Horton. The vocal is powerful and beautiful. It's a gorgeous tune. And, you know, I say this about a lot of the music that we've been talking about, but you could still play this record on a dance floor. And as a DJ, that's an important aspect of this. Like, you can still play Happiness, especially in Philly, and, you know, the dance floor will go crazy.
Okay, well, let's play it right now on World Cafe.
Loving, feeling, rising, climbing, feeling like I never felt before. Tossing, turning, reaching for you, having things I never had.
You are listening to The World Cafe. That was King Britt presenting Silk 130 featuring Lady Alma Horton with Happiness. That was the Soul Dama remix. It was released in the year 2000. World Cafe correspondent John Morrison is talking about the 2000s in dance music history today on The Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duris. John, you mentioned remixing and how dance music today is constantly being remixed and being changed. Could you explain what a remix is and where remixing came from?
Yeah, a remix is essentially a new version of a song that's created by adding or rearranging or altering the original sound recording. The story of the remix is, as a form, is a little convoluted. The term is, it actually comes from disco. It's attributed to a producer and engineer named Tom Moulton, who worked on a lot of the Philly International tunes in the 70s, a lot of those disco records. And Tom would actually physically re-edit the tape recording of disco tunes and extend certain sections. So he would take, you know, 8 bars or 16 bars of a drum section in a tune, cut the tape with razor and extend it and re-edit it, so that when DJs played these remix versions of these tunes in clubs, people could dance longer because they have a longer extended instrumental section. But there's also this whole history of Jamaican style dubbing, which wasn't called remixing, but you know, the Jamaican producers would take popular reggae tunes and they would use signal processors like EQ and delay and like these reverb effects, and they would create like these trippy new versions of songs. So really, remixing as we know it comes out of those two traditions, Jamaican reggae and American disco.
And I'm sure it's gotten a lot easier now that you're not actually physically having to cut tape and you have computers.
Right, right. Completely streamlined process now.
The next song we're going to hear is Catriona and Tedra Moses, Be Your Girl. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, Catriona is a Haitian-Canadian producer and DJ, and he's probably the most influential electronic dance music producer right now. When you hear dance music today, a lot of it has this kind of expanding and contracting sound. It sounds like somebody's turning like a volume knob up and down, that kind of like pumping sound that you hear in dance records all over. That's a mixing technique called sidechain compression. And if you hear that, the producer who did it was likely influenced by Catriona or maybe the producer Flying Lotus. So Catriona has really reshaped the sound of dance music on a fundamental level. And Be Your Girl is an example of that. But even outside of that, it's a classic in its own right. Tedra Moses, her original song was beautiful. The kind of like low-key, like lesser-known R&B song from 2004. Catriona took it and remixed it in 2013 and really introduced it to dance floors around the world. And now, you know, it's a classic party tune.
Catriona and Tedra Moses, Be Your Girl. Be Your Girl from Catriona and Tedra Moses on World Cafe. It's the Culture Corner with John Morrison. Every week this month, he's digging into a different decade of dance music history for Black History Month. I'm Raina Duras. This week, we're in the 2000s. You mentioned earlier, John, that Gen Z interacts with music differently than previous generations. Could you elaborate on that? Explain what you meant.
Yeah, I think that, of course, you know, social media and music making technology are the prime catalysts in this change in the way that young people view and interact with music and create music. You know, as far as like the music making technology, young people today are growing up with software that has capabilities that stuff that I used to dream about as a kid growing up making music. You have, you know, audio to MIDI technology where you can take any sound, you know, the sound of your voice or whatever, and turn it into digital information. You can control a synthesizer with your voice, right? STEM separation technology where you can isolate any element of a recording that you want. You could not do that until a few years ago, right? And of course, everybody has access to these technologies, regardless of how old you are. But I really think that growing up with this stuff shapes how young people view music and create music. And because a lot of young folks are coming of age alongside this technology, they adapt to it faster.
And then what about social media? How has that changed dance music?
Yeah, it's interesting to me thinking about this, because platforms like TikTok and Instagram not only allow music to spread around the world almost instantaneously, these apps actually allow users to change the character of songs as well. You know, users can speed up audio for songs. That a lot of people do that. Like they'll take the audio of a song and just play it, you know, at twice its native tempo and pitch. You start to see that a lot of these sped up versions of these songs are a lot more popular than the original versions. So not only are users through social media allowed to remix their own versions of these songs, the fan remixed version actually becomes like the more popular standard version of the song.
It like hurts my head to think about it, sort of. There's so many layers. Okay, the next song we're gonna hear in this series is one that came out in 2020. So very recent. It's from Cookie Kawai. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, Cookie Kawai is an artist from Jersey, and her song Vibe was really one of the biggest TikTok songs of the last few years. Rhythmically, you know, it's rooted in that Jersey club sound. It has like that Jersey club rhythm to it, but it also has these dreamy, gorgeous synths on top of it. It's fast, it's catchy, and ethereal. It's basically the sound of the 2020s.
Here it is. It's Cookie Kawai with Vibe, If I Back It Up.
If I back it up, is it fast enough? When I throw it back, is it fast enough? If I speed it up, can you handle that? You ain't ready for this work now. Watch me throw it back, throw it back.
It's the Culture Corner on World Cafe with John Morrison. I'm Raina Duris. You just heard Cookie Kawai with Vibe, If I Back It Up. That song came out in 2020. Every week for Black History Month, John Morrison is taking you through a different era in the history of dance music. We've talked about the dance music of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now the 2000s, all the way up to this decade. John, we've talked a lot about dance music's history and its past. Where do you see, look into your crystal ball here, where do you see dance music going in the future?
I think that young people are always revisiting and recreating the music of their parents' generation. As much as young people, on one hand, rebel against that, young people historically, especially when you think about popular music, are obsessed with the creative output of their parents' generation, right? And this isn't just like exclusive to, you know, any one particular generation. In the 80s, you had like the garage rock revival and the Paisley Underground scene, young people who were obsessed with the music of the 60s, right? In the 80s and 90s, hip hop was all about sampling and recontextualizing the music of the 60s and 70s, jazz, funk, that whole thing. So it's like an ongoing conversation. And I think that you can hear it in the music that young people make now. Folks are creating their own new versions of UK garage, drum and bass, Baltimore Club, Jersey Club. These are genres that were created, you know, by and large by Gen Xers. And now their kids in Gen Z are making their own versions of it. It's really an ongoing cross-generational conversation. And I think that's what it's going to be. If I had to make a prediction, a lot of the music of the 90s and the 2000s just coming back in a new form.
So tell me.
Okay, well, let's make sure we meet back here every decade to take stock and see what music sounds like at that point. John, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been having a blast. Thank you, Raina, as always.
John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. He joins me every month for the Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing. Visit your local REI co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways to opt outside.